Questions about anything from the last time? I realized it was bugging me that Stein kept writing equal in that thing, and it was like he was trying to give us more of a hint. What I did realize after class is here's another angle on that problem.
But in the limit, that equality is true, right?
It is true in the limit. Okay. There's definitely, I couldn't think that, certainly wasn't equal. At,
right.
Yeah, so another angle on chapter 3, problem exercise 20. That Sn, the partial sum function, that is the sum as n goes from 1 to capital N. So in problem 19, you realize that was this. And a nifty thing, if you let x be n pi in that thing, it sure does look like a Riemann sum. So if I stick pi over n in that thing, let's see, then it would be a sum as n goes from 1 to n, and I would have sine n times pi over n. And let's see, what I wish I had on the bottom was n times pi over n. So it would look like an integral of sine t over t and be a Riemann sum. And if the more I stare at it, then I realize, aha, if I multiply this whole thing by pi over n and divide it by pi over n here, then sure enough, that looks like a Riemann sum at the points n times 1 times pi over n, 2 times pi over n, 3, etc., out to capital N times pi over N is pi. So it'd be a Riemann sum representing an integral from 0 to pi. And this pi over N is exactly what you need to be your delta X. And the whole thing is a Riemann sum. And so, that as N goes to infinity, that is going to tend to the integral from 0 to pi. Sine t over t doesn't have a singularity at the origin by L'Hopital's rule. It's nice and continuous there. So this is a regular Riemann integral. And that's the magic number in Gibbs phenomenon. But how you would use that in the problem, you have to think about it. Because the actual max, you know, the max of the first hump doesn't occur at pi over n. It occurs slightly before pi over n. So you'd have to think about, well, could I use this or not? I wasn't 100% sure. The way I showed you to do it, if two functions are close, then their maximums aren't going to be close on that little interval. So the way I showed you to do it definitely works. But maybe there's a sneaky way to make an easy proof from this observation. If you think of it, let me know, because I'd be curious to see if there's a clean, sneaky way of doing this. But it's another thing to think about if you prefer to use that fact. Were there any questions about anything? Well, today I thought I'd get rolling on the Fourier integral, finally. Remember, Fourier series were about expanding functions, and especially, so Fourier series, if I had a 2-pi periodic function, 2-pi periodic f, then Fourier series were about expanding it in terms of oscillating functions of certain frequencies. So let's see, it would be a naught plus a sum as n goes from 1 to infinity, a n cosine nx plus b n sine nx. And these trig functions are wiggling at certain frequencies. So what it's saying is that if I have a 2-pi periodic function, I can expand it in terms of these trig functions of frequency n. And these are like the overtones of a Pluck string. So all periodic functions can be expressed in terms of those basic overtones. And so if your heart beats at 2 pi periodic, then I could expand that signal, assuming it's periodic, in terms of Fourier series. Stuff like that. That's cool. And if you're an engineering person and you think, well, what if I have a function that's not periodic, but I just, let's say it's just a little bump, so, and then I could think of it as extended to the whole thing by zero, and I could expand it in all of these in terms of any old periods I want. So the idea is, let's suppose I've got a little function that's just a little bump, and so I'm thinking it's just going to be this little bump like that. This is my f of x. And I'm going to think about expanding it in Fourier series from minus L to plus L. And I'm going to let L go to infinity. And my goal is to, since f isn't periodic, my goal is to expand f in terms of sine and cosine functions of all periods. And that's what the Fourier integral is about. So having a little bump like this, we say that f has compact support. The support is where it's not zero. So it's just not zero on the little bump. And so here's the big idea. I'm going to expand, let's see, f of x. Let's see, remember the Fourier coefficients. The a naught is 1 over 2L. It's the average. And the AN is 1 over L times the integral from minus L to L of f of x cosine. I guess I'm using T here. What do I want to use? Doesn't really matter. Cosine T, NT, DT, etc. Then the BN is similar. BN would be the same thing with the sine nt where the cosine nt is. All right, so I'm going to write out now. This is a nice smooth thing, so we know my Fourier series f of x is going to be, okay, the constant term is 1 over 2L integral from minus L to L of f of t dt. Plus 1 over L times the sum as n goes from 1 to infinity. I'm going to look at this for a minute and figure out that it's a Riemann sum. And that's going to turn me into an integral here, kind of like what I just did in the homework thing. So let's see, my coefficient here would be an integral from minus L to L. 1 over L I pulled out in front. See, where'd my... I didn't pull it in front yet. I'm going to pull it. I guess I'll leave my 1 over L here for the time being. And here I would have f of t cosine nt. When you do it over L, it's... n pi t over L. Okay, I wish I had more room here. Dt. And then I've got to multiply that by cosine n pi x over L. And then there'll be a plus a similar term that's going to involve the sine functions. Okay, and you stare at that for a second. Let's see, why does it feel like an integral?
I've got a 1 over L. Let's see, what do I wish I had? N pi over L.
This is starting to look like an integral. Where's the integral part? I've got an N pi x over L.
Yeah, it's the n pi over L part that looks like an integral.
So I'm going to put a little circle around that. This part right here, oops. So instead of a circle, I'll put an arrow. N pi over L looks like it's the parameter in an integral. And pi over I gotta let L go to infinity, so that's gonna be pi over L is gonna be something small. So here's the idea. I've got a pi over L. So I need to get a pi over L here, I need to put myself a pi. This is gonna look like the delta x. If I give myself a pi there and put a 1 over pi out in front. Okay, the idea is I'm gonna let L go to infinity in this integral. And I'm gonna think of those n pi x over L's as the Riemann partition. So here would be pi over L, 2 pi over L, dot dot dot. And this okay, so what happens when I let L go to infinity? F's that little bump, so that's just an area, and I'm dividing by 2L, which would go to, so that first term goes to zero. And I claim that if I let, so let's see, this would be some graph here, and I'm taking a Riemann sum. Like that. And I'm going to let L go to infinity. Okay, the first term goes to zero, and I'm going to have f of x equals the limit as L goes to infinity. And I'm going to realize these things as integrals. And so let's see, when I do that, I would get a sum. Let's see, this sum. Does that sum look like an integral? N pi. Am I screwing this up? Oh, yeah. That integral is an integral. And so what I get here is a 1 over pi integral from minus infinity to infinity of cosine something. Let's see, I got a t, f of t cosine n pi. Oh, let's call that a wn. N pi over L is going to be a wnt. So I'm going to have wn is going to be n pi over L. dt. So I just rewrote that. But now I've got cosine Wn x and where did my pi over L, I'm going to stick here. That's my delta x. I guess I'm going to call it delta W.
Okay, so this is a function of w, this would be a spit me out a function of wn when I integrate with respect to t. And this is going to look like a Riemann sum times delta w.
Okay, and there's going to be plus a sign, the same business but with a sign. And so what I claim I get in the end is that f of x is going to be equal to an integral. See, this is going to, these wn's are going like that, so that's going to be an integral from 0 to infinity of a function a of w, the wn's are w's in this integral, wt dt. And there's going to be a sine one, plus an integral from 0 to infinity. I'll call those b of w's, sine wt dt. Okay, so that's the big formula. That's after I turn that into a Riemann sum. And then where you look at what the a's and the b's are, the a of x, the a of w rather, is 1 over pi times the integral from minus infinity to infinity of f of t cosine wt dt. And the bw is going to be a similar thing but with a sine. And so think about this. F of x is expressed as a combination. This is a Riemann sum. And so it's a combination of all frequencies of cosine and all frequencies of sine. And these are the functions that give you the coefficients in the Riemann sum. So it's like an infinite series, but using all frequencies, not just the ones in the overtones for 2π periodic things. So what I'm doing is expanding f in terms of trig functions of all frequencies. And it turns out to be a useful thing to do. So with a compact supported f like this, you could turn this into a rigorous argument. I'm going to prove things about Fourier transform using tools of analysis which are cleaner and nicer than this thing. If I was going to make this an improved, I would have to get back and be very careful about a lot of stuff. And I don't want to do that here. I want to do the proofs in the clean way that analysis evolved eventually. But this is a way to get the feeling for the Fourier integral and to kind of invent it. Just think of that thing as a Riemann sum. Did I ever write Riemann sum? Yeah, so I'm definitely thinking Riemann sum here. Sorry, I'm struggling here today. I didn't bring my battery, my power source, and so my screen is so dim I can't see what I'm writing. Okay, so before I do start proving things about the Fourier transform, I kind of want to show you about why it turns out to be a very useful thing. So let's see, a fact. Is that if f is piecewise C1 smooth, and let's say it's got to be in L1, that means the integral, it's integrable. That's so-called absolutely integrable. Then f is equal to its Fourier integral. And let's see, it's kind of like Fourier series. The Fourier series converges to F, where it's nice and smooth, and it converges to the midpoints of jumps when there's a jump. So I'll say given by in quotes. So it's given by its Fourier integral. It's equal where f is differentiable. Even at kinks, so where f is continuous, and it's equal to the midpoint of a jump at a jump. And there's going to be a Gibbs phenomenon, just like for series. It's going to overshoot a jump. And that you can take a limit that you're overshooting gets on a smaller, smaller interval as you approximate the integrals by finite integrals. Let me show you what a typical calculation looks like. Let's do a simple example. So let's take a function that's just a step function. So it'll be, let's make it be 1. It'll turn on at minus 1, and it'll turn off at plus 1. So it's going to be 0 until I get to minus 1, and then 0 after plus 1. So it's just a step function, and it's going to have unit strength. That's my f of x. Then let's calculate the various functions in the Fourier integral. The a of w function is 1 over pi integral from minus infinity to infinity f of t cosine wt dt. Let's see, f is an even function and cosine is an even function. So I can clean this up a little bit. So f is even. Cosine is even. And so the thing in the middle is even. The thing inside the integral, even times even equals even. And so this integral would be 2 over pi times the integral from 0 to infinity. F of t cosine omega t wt dt. And remember, f is just 0. Let's see, it's 1 until I get to 1, and then it's 0 after that. So this would be 2 over pi integral from 0 to 1 cosine wt dt. And that's an easy thing to crank out. That would be 2 over pi 1 over w cosine wt evaluated between 0 and 1. Did I say, I mean, when I integrate sine. And when I stick in t equals 0, sine of 0 is 0. So that's just funny. I've seen this function every day now for the week. Sine w over w. And the bw function is going to turn out to be a snap. The b of w is 1 over pi integral from minus infinity to infinity. My function, which is even, times the sine function, which is odd. So we have here, this is even. The sine function is odd. Even times an odd is odd. And so this, the b function, is a big fat 0. So the Fourier integral boils down to f of x would be an integral from I guess I should put quotes here. It's an integral from 0 to infinity of my a of w function, which is 2 over pi times sine w over w. That's my a of w. times cosine w x dw. And if you think about this, these are the functions I'm expanding it in. So if this was a Riemann sum, these are frequency w, and I'm adding them up like a Riemann sum, and these are the coefficients that go in front of the frequencies. So notice as I get out to super high frequencies, the coefficients are going to be sine, which is bounded by 1, divided by w. That's a really small thing. So the high frequency cosine terms are out of the range of hearing, if you like to think of it that way. And so you can throw away that part of the integral, and the part you hear, if you're an electrical engineer, it's the part you can feel, is just the first part of the integral. And you decide what part to throw away if you're approximating things. Well, that just seems like a novelty when I do it this way. Oh, by the way, here's something cool. We know that, I told you that fact, that this is going to be, this is equal to, let's see, where f is continuous, let's say it's going to be 0 if the absolute x is outside minus 1 to 1. And it's equal to 1 if absolute x is equal to, less than 1. So that's where it's smooth, nice and smooth, so it converges to the actual function there. But it's equal to 1/2, the midpoint of the jump, if x is equal to plus or minus 1. See that, where's the function? It's halfway, that's 1/2 right here, the halfway to the jumps at those two spots. And let's think about that. What's a good spot to think about? Oh, how about 0? What if I let x be 0? Then cosine of 0 is 1. And look what I get. If I let x equal 0, that gives me that f of 0 is 1. And if I look back in my integral, where is it? There it is. If I'm letting x be 0, cosine of 0 would be 0, oh, it would be 1, and I get the integral of sine w over w. So I'd get a 2 over pi integral from 0 to infinity, sine w over w, which is something we figured out using Fourier series. Remember, this integral is equal to pi over 2 if I put it on the other side. That's kind of cool. So one of the reasons the Fourier transform is an important thing is it turns differentiation into multiplication by the variable in the Fourier transform. So it turns differential equations into algebraic equations. And we're going to see that we can solve some of the famous problems of engineering and science by turning a partial differential equation into an algebra equation. And so in the algebra side, it's Fourier transform side, we use algebra to find a solution. And the amazing thing about the Fourier integral is you can undo it. So you solve algebra on the Fourier transform side, and then you undo the Fourier transform, and you solve the partial differential equation. That's why people get hopping excited about the Fourier transform. Yeah, so I want to do. show you something about the usefulness of these, the splitting this into cosine and sine functions like I did. So you can always do this trick. So here's the trick, a fact. If f is even, then my a function is 2 over pi times the integral from 0 to infinity of f of t cosine w t dt. And that's called the Fourier cosine transform. I take a function, I hit it with cosine wt, and I integrate. And I get a new function with respect to w. That's called the Fourier cosine transform. And notice, that I had my f of x was expanded as an integral from 0 to infinity of a of w cosine wx dw. This is the Fourier cosine transform, and if I do it again, I get back to f. That is cool. So it means do Fourier cosine transform twice, you get back to the function you started with, if it's even. But who cares about even functions? How about if I take a function and extend it as an even function? So that 2 over pi is kind of a pain in the neck. So I'm going to define a Fourier cosine transform. It's going to be this. I'll call it f sub c of a function. It's about functions that are defined on the positive real line. So f of x for x bigger than or equal to 0. It's only defined for x positive. And so the Fourier cosine transform is, here's the pain in the neck, I take the square root of 2 over pi. And you'll see why in a minute. It's an integral from 0 to infinity of f of t cosine w of t dt. And so that spits out a function of w. And what I showed you, let's see, in that thing I just showed you, there's a 2 over pi. And so if I do the Fourier cosine transform twice, that would make this 2 over pi come in, and I would come back and get my f. So these two formulas show that the Fourier cosine transform composed with itself is equal to the identity. You get f back. That's cool. That means that I can undo the Fourier cosine transform by taking the Fourier cosine transform. That's going to be a cool thing. And in fact, yeah, that's enough coolness for the moment. So let's see, when I do this business, I would start out with a function, and I would extend it as an even function. So I start out with f of x, and I extend it as an even function, and then I do the Fourier transform business, Fourier integral, and that's how I see this thing. And then restrict to the positive axis again when you're done. And there's a similar fact about the Fourier sine transform. So if f is odd, then, did I say up there that the b part was 0? Oh yeah, I kind of implied that. So back here, if f is even, the b part is identically 0. And so I get a Fourier cosine transform that's cosine alone. And the cool thing is, I realize if I do the Fourier cosine twice, I get back to there. All right, so in the other case, if f is odd, then the a function is identically zero. And let's see, that means I would have b of w is equal to, it would turn out to be 2 over pi integral from 0 to infinity. Because of the evenness, I can do the 2 over pi business and get integral from 0 to infinity f of t sine wt dt, and f of x is an integral from 0 to infinity of b of w sine w x dw. And so similarly, there's a Fourier sine transform. This spits me out a new function of w. And if I do it twice, I get back to the original function. And it, once again, there's this 2 over pi pain in the neck. And to make that nice and clean and symmetric, I define the Fourier sine transform Fourier sine transform is f sub s of f, and that's going to spit out a function of w, and it's to make that 2 over pi okay, I have to put a square root of 2 over pi in here to make it nice and symmetric. And let's see, this would be integral of f of t sine wt dt. So this would spit out a new function of w, and if I did it again and rename my variables, I'd get my original function back. So doing it twice gets you back to the original function. So same property. If I do it twice, back to f. And these two transforms have virtues. They turn differentiation into multiplication in slightly different ways. How many people in here have studied Laplace transform? Everybody? So these transforms are kind of like the Laplace transform. They're gonna have formulas that tell you the Fourier sine transform of a derivative is just going to be multiplication by something minus a constant. And it's that minus a constant thing that makes you decide which one of these two transforms you want to use in a problem. So let me tell you that properties of these things like that. What makes them very useful from the point of view of studying partial differential equations. A property, or any differential equation, let's see, that the Fourier cosine transform of f prime is multiplication by w. With an annoying number right here, minus 2 square root of 2 over pi times f of 0. Kind of like the Laplace transform formula. So it turns differentiation into multiplication by w. And that's why it's going to turn differential equations into algebra equations. And you know, you can undo the cosine transform by taking it again. So you turn your differential equation into an algebra equation, solve for the transform, and then undo the transform with itself. So that would be an exciting possibility. And another property, let's see, the same one for the sine transform. The Fourier sine transform of f prime turns out to be minus w times the Fourier sine transform. Oops, I'm sorry, I botched this up. The Fourier cosine transform of f prime, this is the sine transform over here. It jumbles them up. And the Fourier sine transform of F prime is W times the Fourier cosine transform of F. With no annoying constant term. And I'm going to show you when I do an applied problem next time how you can use these things in an effective way. So it's not quite as clean and simple as the Laplace transform. But the Laplace transform is not so clean and simple because you can't undo it as easily. These can be undone very easily. If you can solve for the cosine transform of something, you get the function back despite doing the cosine transform again. And you'd actually get a formula for the solution. Maybe I should show you why. These things are pretty easy to figure out. It's just integration by parts. So for example, y is 1. I would have, let's see, the Fourier cosine transform of f prime is 2 over pi, square root of 2 over pi, integral from 0 to infinity of f prime t cosine wt. And that stands for a limit. As say b goes to infinity of square root of 2 over pi integral from 0 to b dt. And then on this thing, by the way, this integral converges much better than it you might guess because of the wiggling. The wiggling of cosine makes lots of cancellations occur. And so this integral, it's like the Riemann-Lebesgue lemma. These things converge faster than you would expect because the intense wiggling for big W makes for big T makes those things cancel, and the thing converges better than you'd expect. We'll see that when we study the theory more. Okay, and let's see, I can do integration by parts. This would be my U, and the F prime of T dV. dV would be f prime of t dt, which means that v would be f of t. And so this integral would be a limit as b goes to infinity, square root of 2 over pi. Let's see, I'd get a u times v, so that would be an f of t cosine wt minus integral from 0 to b of v du. And du would be minus w cosine sine wt. dt. Let's see, so in these problems, we're going to want f to go to 0 at infinity, kind of. And you'll see why we want that to happen. So we're going to need for f to be fizzling out as you go toward infinity. And when we study this problem, we're going to invent a class of functions that does stuff like that. So we're going to want f of t to go to 0 as t goes to infinity. That'll make that term go away. And then what's left is, oops, I didn't evaluate that between 0 and b. So this is going to be evaluated between 0 and b. If it goes to 0 at infinity, the b part would go away, and I'd be left with the 0 part, and cosine of 0 is 1. That's how I get the f of 0 term in this thing. So in the end, I'm going to get minus square root of 2 pi f of 0 times cosine of 0 is 1. And then notice I've got minus a minus And that's going to be, and the w in that integral can come out in front. I guess I need a square root of 2 pi in there too. And that's the Fourier sine transform. So it's just integration by parts. And the other one is very similar. Well, if you do that routine twice, so a consequence of those formulas, do them twice and keep track, then you get something neat. And if you're thinking of wave equations and things like that, it should be exciting. If I take the cosine transform of f double prime, I get minus w squared times the cosine transform of f, minus an annoying number, f prime at 0. And if I take the Fourier sine transform of f double prime, I get minus w squared times the Fourier sine transform of f plus a square root of 2 over pi times f of 0, kind of like Laplace transform formulas. But that's exciting because this means that second order differential equations are going to be particularly well adapted for this thing, because second derivatives are going to spit out the same cosine transform. Yeah. Let's see, I'm kind of running out of time. I don't want to start something. Okay. All right, so I think I'll play around a little bit more showing you what these things are for before I knuckle down and prove those properties that are critical for making it all work. So that'll be the plan. Okay, that's enough for today. Thank you.